Okay, let's go to Matthew 16. Just going to stay here just for a couple of seconds, just to refresh.
Yet again,
just to refresh. Memories and minds and spirits as to what the scripture says here. And this is the topic that we're taking over these sessions. I also say to you, this is Matthew 16 verse 18, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. We're looking at the rock, the word of God, as God's revealed word to us, the rock. And in previous, I can't remember, I don't know if it was last Sunday, and probably and Sunday before that, we saw how Jesus likened, just a few chapters earlier in this book of Matthew, Matthew 7, how he likened someone who hears the word of God and puts it into practice. He says this person is like a wise man, a wise woman, a wise man, or a wise person who builds on rock. Now, last Sunday, we were looking at a scripture. We're looking at, again, at Peter. And we read the account in Mark's Gospel chapter 9. We're not going to turn there now, but where Jesus was transfigured on the mountain. And if you remember, his clothes became very white. And while he was on the mountain, he was talking with Moses and Elijah. Then the glory of God came down in the form of a cloud and covered them.
I wasn't here.
No, you wasn't here then. The cloud came down and covered the mountain, and God spoke out of that cloud and said, "This is my beloved son." And I believe, I'll just make sure I get the correct one, because I don't want to quote the one at the baptism. I think in the clouds, Jesus said, "This is my beloved son, hear him." I will just double check. Mark 9 verse, the early verses. Verse 7, yes. "This is my beloved son. Hear him. Hear him." We've got to listen to what the word says. Jesus, the living word. And hear God the Father. Really speaking to... The only ones he was really speaking to here were Peter, James, and John. But obviously it's not, wasn't just for them. This was for all of us. That we are to hear him. We're to listen to what Jesus says. Now, Peter, James, and John, they were on this mountain. They were present when all these things took place, when Jesus was transfigured. They were there. What they saw with their own two eyes, Moses and Elijah. They were there when the glory of God came down in the cloud. And they were there, and they heard with their ears those words from God the Father saying, "This is my beloved son, hear him." And what Peter does later on in his life, he's writing to the church. If you just turn with me quickly to 2 Peter chapter 1. Again, we touched on this last week, and so I'm not going to spend too long in the... You didn't hear? Okay.
You were here?
Yes.
We're
going to
get a double portion.
Here on, in his letter, later on in his life, Peter is writing to the church, and he recalls this very occasion on the mountain. And he's writing, he says, This is my paraphrase of what he's leading up to. He says, we were there. We were eyewitnesses. You know, Peter could say, you know, I saw what happened on the mountain. I heard the voice that came from heaven. But he goes on in verse 19. And he says that we have the prophetic word confirmed. Other translations, I think it's King James, yeah? a more sure word of prophecy. We have a more sure word of prophecy. You know, we said last week that Peter could say, I heard God speaking from the cloud. I heard him with my own ears. You know, his voice was as clear as any other voice that he'd ever heard. And he says, I was there. I saw the glory come down. I saw Moses and Elijah. I saw Jesus transfigured before my eyes. But he says, I heard God speak. I heard him speak. And he begins to outline in these verses from verse 12 through to 21. He begins to outline a legacy that he wants to leave the church. And he says, if there's one thing I can leave the church, it's this. Hear him. Listen to what he has to say. Peter says, when we came preaching to you, or when we wrote to you, he says, we didn't follow, this is verse 16, we didn't follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we, he says, obviously talking about James and John as well, he says, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now all the disciples were eyewitnesses. And again, we said it last week, you cannot argue with an eyewitness account. Well, you could try and argue with an eyewitness account. You could try and disprove it, but it's very hard. Because people that were there and they witnessed something have an accurate record of what they saw. And that's worth more than everybody saying, well, I think this happened. Somebody told me this happened. You know, it's worth more than hearsay. Well, they throughout his ministry. But on this particular occasion, there's only Peter, James, and John on the mountain. So he says, the things we've preached to you, he says, the things we've spoken to you, the things that we have written to you, are eyewitness accounts. You know, they are true. They are a true record of what actually happened. And then Peter refers to this voice again. He says that he heard on the mountain. He says, we heard it. We were there. You know, we heard this with our own. We were not mistaken. We know what we heard. This is my beloved son. Hear him. Actually, Peter says here, in whom I am well pleased. But hear him. You know, on the mountaintop, Peter heard the voice. On the mountaintop, Peter saw the visitation of Moses and Elijah. And he recalls this incident in this letter. But then he goes on and he says, but we've got a more sure word of prophecy. Don't just take what you hear and trust what it says. You know, there are many people in the church, let me explain what I mean. Many people in the church that have words. They have visions. They dream dreams. You know, I'm going to put this, if you know, in inverted commas. They hear God speaking to them. Now, Peter could honestly say with all the conviction that he had in his heart, because he was there on the mountain, yes, he heard God speaking. And Peter's legacy went, I think, that he wanted to lay and lead. He went on to encourage the church to tell them that they have the prophetic word confirmed. They have a more sure word of prophecy. The Holy Scriptures. They've got the Holy Scriptures. Now, we don't, and I would encourage you to do this, and I'm sure Pastor would as well. Don't trust in visions and dreams and prophecies or even gifts of the Spirit. These types of gifts, these types of utterances will always be backed up with the Scripture.
Amen.
This is the prophetic word confirmed. This is the prophetic word made more sure. Now actually, again, I said this last week and I'm going to say it again. These gifts, these prophecies, these dreams, these visions, they actually confirm what we already know from Scripture and what we believe from the Word of God. Now, we must esteem God's Word above all else because it's the rock, it's the foundation. Now, I told you that story last week, which I had to repent of, because there were people in our church, they were so hooked up and keyed in to visions and dreams and prophecies and words of interpretation of tongues, you know, and if it was spoken through a prophecy or an interpretation, you know, they just lapped it up.
What do you mean?
Just they just received. They just took everything like a sponge, and they soaked it up, and they
absorbed.
And when you came to this,
place,
you know this.
And it got to the place. As I said this last week. It got to the place where actually I did wrong, and I had to ask God to forgive me. But this one woman came forward for prayer. Yeah, and you know, just by the way, she asked me to pray for her, and you knew just by the fact, the things she was saying, she hadn't heard a word that had been preached over the last 3 or 4 weeks. She hadn't listened, she hadn't taken in, and she, I want God to speak to me. So I, rather naughtily, as I said, I had to repent. I said, sister, says, I believe the Lord has a word for you. And I just quoted to her a scripture. And she said, wow, God's saying that to me. Perhaps not, and then not realizing that actually she had that all along. She had that same scripture. And it's actually, I believe it was a scripture actually that I had preached on for 2 or 3 weeks. But because when I'd spoken it in the message, when I preached it, it just hadn't registered that this was God speaking to her. But as soon as she thought that it came from the Lord in a prophetic word, she just, and she took it, she believed it, and it, yes, it affected her life. Now, I had to repent because of the saying that the way I did it, but it got the message over.
I remember reading in the Bible, I can't remember exactly what it is, maybe you can help me, something in line with this story, where people are so busy chasing after a buzz, after a feeling, and they call them something, and I've forgotten what they're called. Is it something to do with Jezebel spirit?
I don't know.
It's about people who go to church, and they're going to get a feeling, they're trying to chase after
an emotional,
but
yes.
But there's names of this type of people.
I don't know.
Like, not wizards, but there's something.
Yeah, I don't know.
These are dangerous in the church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are certain type of...
How many people I asked them to go
and
work with them.
Or just
got them. But anyway. We had also, this particular group of people that we were ministering to. Whenever that they didn't take the scriptures as God speaking to them the way they ought to have done. You know, they're always wanting to hear a voice. They wanted, this was said, and I think this was said to my dad on one occasion, you know, they asked my dad to pray that God would send the angels to come and tell them what they should do. Now, he didn't, of course, but they were into these. They wanted an angel to appear to them and say that this is what God says you've got to do. And they wanted these visions. They wanted these dreams. They wanted all these things. But Peter here is saying, look, we've got something far more sure.
Amen.
And this is what we build our lives on. Now, I said this last week, and this is where we need to be careful, because all these visions and these dreams, the prophets, the prophecies are subject to the prophets. And yes, we can, in all of what God is saying, the person speaking can put in of their own spirit and their own words. And we've got to discern what's from God and what's from the spirit of man and what's even from the enemy, because they all try and channel in. But if we stick to the word of God and we judge every prophecy, every vision, every dream, every prophetic utterance, every gift of tongues and interpreter, we judge it by the word of God, we won't go wrong. Because this is our benchmark. This is what we go by.
This is what I want to hear.
So this is the foundation on this rock. You have a question? Ask.
Because this week I had a strange dream, and it was so real, like some of the other dreams, that things have come true in the future. So I know it was maybe thought was in the past. This dream, I dreamt that I married someone who was so not on my wavelength. He's not a godly man. He goes down the casino, you know. So obviously, where would that have come from? Why would I dream such a thing? Can't be God showing me it's going to be my future partner, surely.
Maybe not. Maybe just from your fishbone, from your own self.
Mm.
It can come from anywhere.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. What?
Oh, I don't think
it's more. As we have dreams and visions.
Judged them by the word of God. Yeah.
The word of God says do not yoke.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So we cannot have a dream to marry somebody who's not a Christian.
Yeah. No. Well, we actually have the same apostle. We just come back with me to the first book of Peter now, chapter 2. Because he's telling us here.
First Peter chapter 2.
Instead of 2 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 2. Because Peter here is laying down a... He's laying down a legacy. Remember, the legacy is that we hear him. You know, we don't trust in necessarily the prophetic words and the visions and the dreams, but we hear what God is saying, and we come down to the word of God. And here in the opening verses of this chapter, chapter 2,
Verses
1 and 2. He says, therefore, he says, lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. And he says, and like newborn babies, he says, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, desiring the word of God is not just for babies. Now here Peter says, look, he says, like, as babies, he says, desire the milk of the word, desire all that you can get, because it will cause growth. Now, milk is essential for babies because it causes them to grow. It establishes them and grounds them in their growth. And they get all that they need from their mother. But as babies grow, they get weaned off of the milk and they start to take solids. You know, at first the solids are very mushy.
You still remember?
Yeah, still remember. But then they change from that type of soft textured, soft, mushy food to a little more hard food. And they grow. And as people of God, as Christians, yes, we should desire the pure milk of the Word so that we can start to grow. But then we keep on desiring the Word so that we continue growing. Maybe we don't need the milk. Maybe we need the soft solids. Then we go on. Then we need the strongest meat. Do you remember? I think it was Peter again. It may have been Paul. But he wrote to the church on one occasion. He says, look, he says by now, he says, you should be taking meat, but you're still being spoon-fed the mushy stuff. You should be on something stronger. You know, you need to grow, and we need to grow. Why? Because if we keep on with the Word of God, it will establish us and ground us in the faith and in our walk with God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Now, as we grow up, we're not meant to swap our milk for... we're supposed to swap for the soft solids and then onto the solids. We don't swap the milk for a fizzy pop diet. And that's really what... that's what you're saying. A lot of people want that emotional high. They want to come and they want all the froth and the bubble of perhaps an exciting Christian life. But they don't come to the Word of God. And we've got to maintain our intake of the Word of God. Yes, it's nice on occasions to have a, let me put it like this, a Coca-Cola. Fizz. It's nice to have that occasionally. And it's nice to have the emotional high. But we need to be grounded in the Word of God. We need to develop so that we're eating strong meat. And we still get that from the Word of God. The milk from the Word of God, the soft solids from the Word of God, the meat from the Word of God. It all comes from the Word of God. That's why it's important we have Bible study. That's why it's important that we spend time in the Scriptures at home alone. That's why it's important that we're feeding on the Word of God. Now, I might get this wrong. I think it was Job who said that in one scripture in Job. I think it says that he valued the Word of God above his natural food. He would rather hear God speaking to him than take on physical food. You know, God's Word will not only feed us so we become spiritually strong, but it will also lead us and direct us in all our ways. The Scriptures say this in the Proverbs. It says, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. In all your ways acknowledge Him. From the Word, He will direct us. Now, the context of these verses in Proverbs 3 is to do with receiving and keeping the Word of God. Perhaps let's just... I've got a few minutes. Let's turn up Proverbs chapter 3. Again, this is another book I love, the Proverbs. Talking about wisdom. Let's go to verse 1, Proverbs 3, verse 1. And the wise king writes these words. He says, my son, do not forget my law. Don't forget my law. He's talking about the Word of God. Let your heart keep my commands. Don't forget the law. Keep the commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. And he says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Again, he's still talking about the Word of God. You know, keep it in your heart. Actually, he says, write it on the tablet of your heart. Bind it around your neck. Then he goes, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. You know, as we value the Word of God, as we take in the Word of God, as we feed upon the Word of God, we find that it will be health to our flesh and strength to our bones. It will cause growth. It will cause us to mature in the things of God. We're not to lean to our own understanding, he says. We don't lean to the feelings, the dreams, the visions. Because as we just said a little while ago, these could all be influenced by our surroundings. They could be influenced by circumstances that we're going through. Even demonic forces that might be seeking to destroy us. But if we honor and treasure and keep the word, it will direct our paths. We will not go wrong. We cannot go wrong if we stick to the word of God. We cannot be deceived if we stick to the word of God. Now there are many people out to try and deceive us. And they'll say, well, and you've probably encountered them yourself. You know, well, that's not actually what God's word says. Well, let's just make sure. What does it say? I remember one, this was quite late one night. I was having a let me be fair. Let me say it was a debate rather than an argument. A debate. We were debating about things in the Word of God. Now there was me, my father, and another brother. And we were just talking about things in the Word of God, and this other brother started to say, well, you know, there's shades of grey. And I was listening to what he was saying. I was still quite young. He was saying, there's shades of grey in the scriptures. You know, it's not always black and white. And I must have got this from the Holy Spirit, but I picked up my Bible. And I opened it. Just opened it up. And put it down on the table and says, it's black and white. It's printed black on white paper. It's black and white. You know, there are no shades of grey with the Word of God. You know, you can't say, well, it's it doesn't really mean what it says. No, if it's written there, you know, we've said this before. Well, God says he means, and he means what he says. And we can take it.
The other thing is, God said it, that's
got it. Yeah, God said it. That settles it. That settles it. If God said it, that settles it. End of argument. You know this. And I've had to come to that conviction time and again when I've been talking with people, particularly in church. You know, they come with problems and, but what does God say? And they say, I don't know. And that's your problem. You don't know what God says. Find what God says, then come. It's again, I said this last week, you know, and I know because Pastor said this many times, and it's, if you come and say, God has said this to me, come with a scripture. This is what I believe God has said. Don't just come and say, well, I believe God's saying we've got to do X, Y, Z, and ABC and all that. You know, when we first, I shared this again, I think it was last week, when we first were looking and thinking and praying about and believing that God was leading us to come to Malta, I heard, because we discussed it ourselves, we said this is what we feel the Lord's leading, but we didn't have a scripture to base it on. And I said, well, Lord, if this is the way you're leading us, I want you to confirm it to me through the Word of God in here. And I'm not going to make any decisions, I'm not going to do anything until you have given me a clear word of, in the scripture. Because I want a verse of scripture that I can actually put my faith on. So I can start building and working and believing God. And it was just within a couple of days, God gave me the scripture and I shared it with Jane. and said, this is it, this is the word we need. And from that day, even though in one sense, you know, we say, well, I'd like another confirmation, another word. But really from that day, that was it. That was settled in my heart. God had spoken. And in my eyes, we were coming to Malta. Now, this was before ever I spoke with Pastor Vince. Before ever I spoke with anybody else. I didn't speak with my father. I didn't speak with the church. We didn't share this. We settled it ourselves from the Word of God that this is what the Lord was leading us to do. And then once we got the Word of God, we applied our faith to it and we started trusting God and believing and walking in it. And God brought it to pass.
And the Lord had to put an end to my heart. Being down. That scripture, what is in Job 23 verse 12?
Job 23 verse 12. Thank you, Pastor. So just, I'll quickly just wrap up with this. So we're not to lean to our own understanding. We're not to lean to our feelings. You know, because we can feel great today and bad tomorrow. My dad used to say this. And I know where he was coming from when he said it. He said some days he wakes up in the morning and doesn't even feel saved. He said, you can wake up in the morning, you don't even feel born again. But you know you are. That doesn't change the fact. But feelings can deceive us. Feelings can alter the way we act. But if we stay true to what God's word says, we will not go wrong. But if we honour and treasure and keep the word of God, it will direct our paths. And the psalmist puts it like this, and again we touched on it last week. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know, the psalmist tells us plainly there that God's word will light and illumine the way that we should go. It will show up all the steps. You know, one thing I now thank God and I trust I'll never ever be in this situation, but one thing I do like is that when I get on board a plane, you know when they go through their drill and they say that, you know, that there's the exits here and, you know, the oxygen masks will fall down, one of the things they say that there's low level lighting runs along the floor of the plane. So if the plane should fill with smoke, you've got the lights to show you the way. You know, thank God we've got the light here to show us the way. We've got the word of God, and it will get us out of every situation. And actually, if we follow it, more often than not, we won't even be in the situations that we often find ourselves in. Because God's word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. It illumines the way we should go. It shows us the steps we should take. And if we follow it, I would dare to say that we cannot go wrong, because it is the rock.
Thank you.
Firm foundation. We'll leave it there for tonight.
Amen.
Amen.